This is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW, and joining me is Samute Freeman, who is a deputy public defender here in San Francisco. But the reason I'm talking to her is because she is an education attorney in the public defender's office, and this is quite unusual, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Hi, Carol. How are you?
And it's unusual. You are maybe the only education attorney that works in a public defender's office in the whole state.
Yes, that's right. It's not common for there to be an education attorney in the public defender's office. And typically what public defender's offices do is refer families out to civil attorneys for that type of work.
And so you have children, youngsters, who get in trouble for some reason. And all of those kids should be going to school. So almost every child may have an issue regarding education and the issue that they're in juvenile court for.
Absolutely. And I would say that pretty much every one of our clients has issues around education. We focus on three main areas, and I specifically focus on school placement, special education, and school discipline. Those are the areas where I represent young people.
So let's talk about each one of them a little bit, about discipline. So I imagine that sometimes youngsters get into fights, either at school or out of school, and end up in the juvenile court system.
Yes, that's right. So we focus on suspensions and expulsions. I will represent young people in expulsion proceedings if they are up for expulsion in the district. And that can be for various reasons, including fighting, but also anything that violates the education code and which the school district feels they should be presented for expulsion.
So when you represent a youngster in a situation, why don't you tell me what you do?
Sure. So there is an expulsion hearing that the young person is entitled to, and the family can make a presentation to a panel of school district employees. There are three people on the panel. We have the opportunity to call witnesses. We have the opportunity to present evidence and present mitigating factors that might explain the behaviors of the young person. And my goal in those hearings is to make sure that the panel understands why the behavior happened, some of the services and support reports that the young person is getting, and try to prevent them from being expelled and give them a chance to go to another comprehensive high school.
So a lot of times a child may be struggling and acting out as a result of some disability, perhaps.
Absolutely. And oftentimes we see that school discipline goes hand in hand with special education. And we do have most of our clients, I can say, have IEPs. They have learning disabilities and social emotional challenges. And so the behavior that they're having at school can stem from those disabilities and those social emotional challenges. So we try to have the school site and the school district see that and show that the young person can be supported maybe with additional services instead of being kicked out of school.
So let's say you have a youngster who has had some difficulty and is now in the court system, and you suspect that maybe that child needs some additional help that they're not getting. What's the process that you take? Do you talk to the parent, then go to the school, find out what's happening?
Well, the first thing I do is I talk to the young person, and I ask them basic questions like whether they like school, maybe if they have a favorite subject or favorite teacher, how they are finding their assignments, if they find that they're difficult, if maybe they feel behind or lost often. And so we interview the client first because they are our clients. And then we take that information and we talk to the parents and we say, you know, have you noticed that your child's grades have been lacking? Do you notice that they often seem like they don't know what's going on in the classroom or they've been struggling for a long period of time? And if that's the case, we tell them about the process for requesting assessment from the school district to see if their child qualifies for an IEP, and we help them with that process. We help them with the written request to the school district, and then we support them through signing the assessment plan. We support them through the first initial IEP meeting, and we go to IEP meetings with the family just to make sure that their child is getting all the help and support that they can get.
So let's step back just a little bit, because you've used some education jargon.
Sure.
You've talked about an assessment, and you've talked about something called an IEP. So you have the child, and you suspect something maybe interfering with the child's learning or causing behavior issues, then what's the assessment?
The assessment plan is a document that the parent has to sign to give their consent for testing to begin. And that assessment plan lays out which areas their child will be tested in. So within 15 days of us requesting the testing, that assessment plan is sent to the parents, and they have to sign it before the testing can begin.
Let me just remind you, this is Carol Kosovar, Looking at Education on KALW, and with me is Samute Freeman, who is a deputy public defender in San Francisco, but also an education attorney, and we're talking about how the education attorney helps children. So we talked a little bit about, okay, we'll do some testing to see if a child is eligible for some additional help to help that child in school. And then they get something called an IEP. What's that?
So an IEP stands for an Individualized Education Plan, and every young person who has who is found to have a learning disability or a learning challenge and has a specific designation will have this Individualized Education Plan, which is a document that chronicles all the services and accommodations they get, how many minutes of special education instruction they get, if they get transportation to school or not. So that's really the document that each young person with a learning disability has. And you have meetings every year called IEP meetings where the parents go over the goals of the young person and go over the services and accommodations they have to make sure that they're still working for their child.
So when you have a child who's now in the court system and you just, you know, find out about the child, do you know whether or not the child has an IEP? How do you find that out, and how do you find out what's in it?
So typically we find out from the parent. Sometimes we find out from the child. Sometimes we find out by requesting education records directly from the school district, because the parent or the child may not understand what an IEP is. Maybe the child is getting pull-out services once a week, and the family doesn't recognize that as IEP services. So we have had times when we didn't find out that the child had an IEP until we requested records.
So one of the things you do is help them navigate through what's a little bit of a complicated system to see whether or not they need additional help.
Absolutely. And the special education system is complicated. There are a lot of laws and players, and what my role is really to partner with the parents of my clients and make sure that they can navigate all the systems and people in the system to get the best that they can for their child.
So you've been working here for almost 2 years now.
Yes.
And what kind of things are you seeing that say, oh, I am so glad I was here to help?
Well, I think, you know, all of my clients are children, and every child is supposed to be in school. That's something that the court orders them to do when they're released from custody. Even when they're in custody, there's a school here at the juvenile hall. And so I think that one of the things I really like about my job is that this is something that that touches every single client. And so if I can help make that school experience a little bit better so that my clients actually go to school and actually benefit from school, I think it certainly helps their criminal case. I think it helps the community to have kids in school during the day and not out in the community doing other things.
So San Francisco, as you said, probably is the only city that has someone like you as an education attorney. If you were talking to other public defender's offices or other municipalities that support youngsters, what would you recommend?
I would recommend that every juvenile public defender in the state have an education attorney on staff that can work with families on these issues, again, because every student is ordered to go to school every day on time with no absences or tardies. And so if the majority of our clients' days are spent at school and they're having problems at school, whether it be school discipline or special education, it makes sense that you would have someone in your office that could help the family with that instead of them having to go to another entity for that.
Well, I'd really like to thank Sumita Freeman, who is the deputy public defender here in San Francisco, and the education attorney who helps youngsters through the office of the public defender. This is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW.